Good morning. How's everybody this morning? I think you're all glad to be here. It sounds like a family reunion where you haven't been with each other for like years. All right. But it's only been a week, but it's good. I like it. I like the sound. I like the ability to be able to be with you. And so that's great. Hopefully when you came in this morning, you received the bulletin. And so if you have one, take it out, and let's kind of go over some things. So this coming Saturday, men, there is no men's breakfast because it's July 4th. So men's breakfast will be July 11th. So we'll have more details about that in the bulletin, but you have a little bit about that today. Also, next Saturday, you'll see that there's an invitation from the Crawfords to be able to come and join them at their house for a celebration. What an opportunity this will be to be able to spend some time on July 4th with your church family. And so we want to encourage you to be able to do that. If you're planning on being there, please let Diane or Brian know. And if you can't find them, just head to the back of the church. You'll see them. They're back there. Okay? All right? So just make sure that you let them know. So again, if you haven't signed up for the events for the 50th anniversary celebration of the church, please make sure that you do that. And if you have any pictures of past events, we'd like to have those pictures as well, because they want to put together a slideshow to be presented several times during the anniversary celebration weekend. And so if you have any pictures, whether they're current, whether they're in the past, that's fine. And maybe some of the events that we're going to be having from now till the close to the anniversary celebration, if somebody's at an event, would you just pull out your cell phone and your camera and just snap a couple pictures and then give them to the send them to the anniversary team? That would be such a helpful thing for every single one of us. And let me just remind you that today is absolutely, positively the last day to sign up for the t-shirts. The sign-up sheet is out on the information table. Today's the last day. You don't get them signed up today, you're going to be left behind. You're going to be left out. You won't be left behind. Because if you're a believer and Jesus comes, you won't be left behind. All right? So just remember, make sure that you get that done this morning, because today will be the absolute day to be able to do that. Well, are you glad you're here this morning?
Yes.
Are you ready to worship?
Yes.
Ready to praise?
Yes.
Ready to just tell God how much you love him? Because you know how much he loves you, right? Because he sent his son to go to the cross for us. And that's why we're going to celebrate communion here in a little bit. All right, let's go. Let's go, worship team.
Would you all stand with me this morning? On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Let's sing the last verse. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling, oh, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Lord, we're so thankful, so thankful for that rugged cross that you hung on for our sake, that you paid the price for our sin. Lord, thank you for bridging the gap, the divide that we couldn't cross. That was all you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making a way for us to be redeemed. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is a victory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its Lord's grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope. Give the Lord a round of applause. He's your living hope today. Come on. Worthy of all our praise. He is worthy of all our praise. Go ahead and be seated this morning as we continue. He is worthy of all our praise. Amen?
Amen.
Every last bit you have to give, he is absolutely worthy of it. Your love came first. Before I knew the cross you carried, now free at last, I'll freely give as I've been given. For everything you've done and everything to come, I will praise you, live to glorify your name, forever anthem your acclaim, Lord, I will sing your praise. Should words fall short, may they fall in honest worship, until all I am breaks in reverence at your feet. For everything you've done and everything to come, I will praise you, live to glorify your name, forever anthem your acclaim, Lord, I will sing your praise. Yeah, I will praise you in the promise and the pain, for as long as life remains, still I will sing your praise. The first and last, the Alpha and Omega, God the great I am, who was and is to come, Almighty One, Blessed Father, Son, and Spirit, God Emmanuel is with us, here and now and then forever. You'll rule in love, you'll reign in peace, you set me free, you owned the cross, you broke through death, you hold the keys, your kingdom come. All the earth will shout with heaven, for you've always held the glory, and you always will forever. And I will praise you, live to glorify your name, forever anthem your acclaim, Lord, I will sing your praise. The promise and the pain, for as long as life remains, still I will sing your praise. I will sing your praise. Have thine own. search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Lord, we have sang about how we want you to have your way in us, in our lives, through us into this world. So, Lord, that takes surrender. When we sing songs like I will praise you through promise, through pain, when we sing songs about how you are glorified and you're amazing and you're worthy of all praise, Lord, remind us, even as we have to walk through this difficult life, you are with us, you care about us. Power, all power surely is thine. Lord, thank you for showing us that power through your love. So as we sing these final words, Lord, help us to sing these words from our heart.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Thou art the potter.
Thou art the potter. I am the clay.
We submit to you, Lord.
Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
We love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering, and we're going to sing the song which we brought out last week. It's called So Much, and the chorus says, I've got so much to be thankful for. And my own testimony is from this week. Something negative happened in my business and my work life, and it's easy to get stuck in that thought and forget that we have so much to be thankful for, thousands of blessings and millions more. So let's not lose sight of that today. Let's bless him. Let's praise him.
There is a love so good, it never ever ends. There is a joy with every morning new. A solid rock that stands when all around me shakes. Jesus, I find it all in you. And I've got so much to be thankful for, so much to be thankful for. I've got so much to be thankful for, so much to be thankful for. A thousand blessings, a million more. It's so easy to praise you, Lord. I've got so much to be thankful for. There is a hope so strong, it holds me through the storm. There is a faith that makes the mountains move. A name so great, a name not even death can stand against. Jesus, I find it all in you. And I've got so much to be thankful for, so much to be thankful for. I've got
So much to be thankful for, so much to be thankful for. A thousand blessings, a million more. It's so easy to praise you, Lord. I've got so much, so much to be thankful for. And I just can't forget what you've done for me. You've been so good. And I just can't forget how you washed me clean. You've been so good. And I just can't forget how you set me free. You've been so good. And I just can't forget that the grave's empty. You've been so good. I've got so much to be thankful for, so much to be thankful for. I've got so much to be thankful for, so much to be thankful for. A thousand blessings, a million more. It's so easy to praise you, Lord. I've got so much, so much to be thankful for. Yeah, I've got so much, so much to be thankful for.
So are you a thankful people this morning? Or are you a grumbling, complaining people this morning? Yeah, okay. Some of you know the reality of where you are. That's encouraging. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 14. Jared, thank you so much for singing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way." You know, that first line, after we sing, "Have Thine Own Way," gets to me. You are the potter. I am the clay. But you know what? Most of us live our lives with that turned around. We think we're the potter, and he's the clay. We think we can tell him what to do. We think we can have him rearrange our lives in such a way that it benefits us more than it benefits him. That's not what it's about. He's the potter. We're the clay. In fact, in Psalms it says, does the clay ever speak back to the potter? Does it ever say to the potter, I don't want to be a vase. I don't want to be a cup. I don't want to be a bowl. I want to be something better. I want to be something greater. Does the clay ever say that? No. It's pliable. Where? In the hands of the potter. And that's where every single one of us need to be. Pliable. In the hands of the potter. And he's not going to make me look like you. He's not going to make your life look like mine. He's got something designed just for me. He's got something designed just for you. And that kind of fits into where we're going with the message this morning to prepare us for the celebration of communion. I don't know if you've ever been invited somewhere and you thought, I'm not supposed to be here. Have you ever thought that? Maybe for some of you that's been a long time event. Maybe for some of you it's been a most recent event in your life. Maybe it was a nice dinner, a wedding, a banquet, something where everybody else looked sharp, polished, put together, and you walked in feeling like the odd one out. I was invited to an event once where I did not know the dress code, didn't bother to check it out, didn't bother to ask the questions. Everybody else was in jackets and ties. Women were in nice dresses, and here I was in what I thought was my good shirt, which meant it didn't have a hole in it or a stain on it, and it was ironed in the dryer. And I remember finding my seat and looking around thinking, wow, I made a big mistake. I do not belong here. And it isn't funny that a lot of people come to church feeling that same way. They think, I'm not spiritual enough. I've messed up too much. I've failed God way too many times. I haven't prayed enough. I'm too broken. God probably doesn't want me here. And this is why the celebration of communion matters. Because the celebration is God saying, you do belong here. You have a seat at my table. The celebration is not about you being worthy. The celebration is about Jesus being willing. You might want to write that down. The celebration is not about you being worthy. It's about Jesus being willing. And the celebration of communion is the moment where God sits down with us. Well, our text this morning comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 23. Hopefully, you found those verses in your Bible. You found Luke chapter 14. So follow along as I start reading in verse 16, and I'm going to read down through verse 23. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Who buys a piece of property without looking at it first? That was a thought that kept coming back to me. Please have me excused. Verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and there still is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Isn't it amazing, right, that people had a seat at the table and they chose not to go and take their place? Well, this morning I want to remind you through this message that you have a seat at the table. And hopefully you've come to church this morning to take your place. Why do you have a seat at the table? Because God has given you a personal invitation. Let's go back to verses 16 and 17. Jesus said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything now is ready. This is not a mass email. This is not a group text. This is a personal invitation. The host prepares the table, and he sends out a servant to tell them that it is ready. Come, take your seat. You know what this tells us? God does not wait for you to find your way to him. God comes to meet you in a manger, on a cross, and with his Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he says, you are invited. Come, sit with me. Now, you may feel like you've not earned it. You may think you're too messed up. But the invitation isn't based on how you feel. It's based on who he is. And he is the kind of God who invites the hungry. He invites the hurting. He invites the imperfect. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm sure that you are as well. You don't have to deserve the seat. You just need to accept the invitation. Here the invitation was given, and people had so many excuses why they couldn't come. You know, all the people in this parable refused the invitation, not because they were sinful, not because they were wicked, not because they were unworthy. They refused because they were distracted. One was too busy to look at a piece of property before it was purchased. One was too busy with business. One was too busy with relationships. The truth is, most people don't miss God because they're too sinful. They miss God because they're too distracted. And remember, in our study of the book of Genesis, as we've come to Genesis chapter 3, and we see the conversation between Satan and Eve. What was his mode? What was his scheme? To distract her. To distract her, her focus from focusing on God and focusing on the truth of his word. Most people don't miss God because they're too sinful. They miss God because they're too distracted. We live in a world where the urgent pushes out the important, where the temporary pushes out the eternal. But the celebration of communion calls us back to this understanding Do not leave your seat empty. Don't let life talk you out of Jesus' invitation of grace. Jesus, the host, has already prepared everything. The table is set. The meal's been prepared. The invitation has been sent. All that's left is for you to come, to just show up. Jesus, for God's redemption, provided everything that you needed by going to the cross. He paid a debt of sin that you owed that you could not pay. He did it for you. It's already been done. There isn't anything that you can do to be able to pay it for yourself. You have to come to him. You have to come and you have to take him at his invitation. Over and over and over again, God's word tells us that if we believe in him, we have eternal life. If we understand what it is that Jesus did for us on the cross and we believe in him, we have eternal life. The invitation's already there. The invitation is believe. But sometimes we let the things of this world distract us. We let the circumstances of life distract us. We let our own intelligence, our own influence, our own friends and family, our own wealth, how whatever that may look like, distract us from taking Jesus at his invitation. He's done it all for us. There's nothing you need to do. There's nothing religion can do for you. There's nothing following a list of man-made rules that can be done. God, through Jesus, has done it all for us. All, he's paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. And he gives us the invitation to do what? Just show up. Here's another thing. God's the one who fills the table. Go back to verse 21 of Luke chapter 14. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. What? That the people were too distracted to be able to take him up on his invitation. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has already been done, and there still is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. God fills the table. In other words, he's saying, go get the people who thought they would never be invited. Go get the ones who are wanting. Go get the broken, the hurting, the ashamed, the forgotten. Why? Because God likes filling his table with people who feel unworthy. You know, the celebration of communion is not a trophy for the perfect. It is nourishment for spiritual growth. It is for the discouraged. It is for the weary. It is for the person who says, Lord, I need you. When you come to Jesus' table, you're not saying, I've got it all together. You're saying, Jesus, you are all I need. And here's another thing. Grace joins us at the table. If you can do it quickly, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to look at verses 23 through 26. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, to believers. And he starts in verse 23 and he says, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The celebration of communion reminds us of where grace comes from. The bread says, my body was broken so you could be made whole. The cup says, my blood was shed so your debt of sin is paid for fully, completely, for all of eternity. Communion is remembering. Communion is proclaiming. Remembering that Jesus once took on human flesh. Remembering that Jesus comes today in his spirit. Remembering Jesus is coming again in his glory. This celebration proclaims grace is here. Grace is alive. Grace has a name. And that name is Jesus. So picture this for a moment. A table prepared for you. Prepared for you by what Jesus did on the cross for you. The table is set with plates of grace, cups of mercy, and a chair with your name on it. A chair nobody can steal. A chair nobody can stack and store in a closet. A chair nobody deserves, but everybody needs. And God is saying, come. Everything is ready. Take your place. Some of you may have walked in today feeling unworthy, feeling ashamed, feeling distant, feeling like you've messed up too many times. But Jesus says, there is a place for you at my table. Not because of what you've done, but because of what I've done for you. Not because you've been perfect, but because Jesus was perfect for you. Not because you're righteous, but because he is gracious. And as we partake of this bread this morning, we remember the body of Jesus broken so we could be made whole. As we partake of this cup, we remember the blood of Jesus shed for the payment of our sins. Every single one of them. As we celebrate communion today, we proclaim his death until he comes. You've been invited. You know God's grace. You have a chair at the table. Come. All you need to do is take your place. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table this morning. While they are passing out the bread and the cup here in just a few moments, let me just remind you, you don't have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church. You just have to be a believer.
Rejoice to see that bound.
show my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I go vile as he. Wash all my sins away.
Let us remember Jesus. Let's remember Jesus. Thank you, man.
Would you all stand with me for this last song?
Wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the joys of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. So onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
When we all see Jesus,
when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
You're dismissed. Have a great day in the name of our Lord.